Not many places you go, you can't get enough of it, amen? This is one of them. This is a blessing. I love to hear good singing. The Vietnamese, a long time ago, up in the mountains of Nguyen Trang, there's like 63 different ethnic groups up in Vietnam. They're like the Vietnamese Indians. And man, when they go to church, they go to church. And they stay for a long time. And I got to complaining one time. I said, man, is these guys ever going to shut up? And the Kaha people said, do you go to church to go home or do you go to church to worship God? And I got to thinking, wow, what? You know, that is true, you know. They don't have all the luxuries and restaurants and internet up there in the mountains. And they don't have TVs all the time except for propaganda. So when they go to church, it's a big deal, man. And you know, it ought to be that way with us. We ought to come to church to worship God and praise God and give Him glory for what He has done. Isn't that a blessing, that guy going back to Bolivia? Man, you can't lose your salvation, but I'd be making sure a few times going up that mountain, amen? Man, turn your Bibles tonight to Psalms 100. Brother David Bailey and his lovely wife, they're getting ready to come to Vietnam. I asked them before if they wanted to eat dog, and they said no, so we won't be eating dog when they're there. Before they get there, we'll take care of it, though. Vietnamese eat everything that doesn't eat them. Hey, you got to keep from starving. I love Vietnamese. I tell you, they're the smartest people. You ever get around them, everybody looks down on them. They don't understand Vietnamese. They are some of the most technical, savvy people. I think all internet and all computer hacking originated in Vietnam. They can figure all that stuff out, man. I'm amazed at them, how they can do. They can take a computer and they'll make money like this. They'll take a brand new computer, take all the new parts out of that thing, put all old junk parts in it, make it work good, and go sell those old or new parts for a profit. And some of them make a living like that. They make a living like that with Hondas, too. You got to be careful in Vietnam, man. They're slick. I mean, they can put the seals back on there and everything, and you'll never know it. And they sit there and laugh at you. I go in the marketplace, and if you don't barter with them, I learned to speak Vietnamese from a teacher 4 hours in the morning and 4 hours in the afternoon. I went down to the famous market there called Bintan Market. And I go down there and I'd practice all afternoon, about 4 hours. And they have a saying in Vietnam. They say if you haggle a foreigner, they think you're a cheapskate. But if you don't haggle, they call you stupid. I said, I'd much rather be a cheapskate than be called stupid. So I'm always haggling with them. And when you go there, the first thing I start off, man, I cut them 75% right off the bat. And we go from there, and I'm usually about right on. They burn foreigners, and foreigners are so dumb, you know. They just, oh, yeah, that poor little Vietnamese. They're probably driving around in a Cadillac somewhere. Psalms 100. Man, you all need to loosen up. You go to church, people, man, they're so tight you can't preach, you know. You're allowed to say amen. One time I got to preach at a black camp meeting down in South Carolina. And one of the highlights of my life, man, was down there. And I was the only white guy there, man, and the preacher. I was the main speaker. And I never will forget, we was singing, man, and everything. And then the preacher called me up there, and he said, okay, Brother Mike, just take your time. And I said, okay, open your Bibles. And everybody went, open your Bibles. I thought, oh, man, this is going to get good, man. Man, by the end of the week, I could hardly speak. And I looked out at him and I said, you know what? Now I know why you all hate white people. And I said, you know what? I hate them too. And I pray God never send me back to another dead Baptist white church again as long as I live. Amen. I tell you, folks, you can get excited about being saved and on your way to heaven, and Jesus Christ has done something for you in your life. You ought to be able to get excited. Amen. The Bible said in Psalms 100, he says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. And it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful. And that's what I'm going to preach on tonight is be thankful unto him and bless his name. If you're thankful, you'll bless his name. For the Lord God, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endure to all generations. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time to be together. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will come down and do a work here in this service tonight. I pray, Father, you can get me out of the way and the Holy Spirit of God can speak through me to your people. I know somebody's in here going through hard times, having a rough way, and maybe marriage is on the brink of breaking up, or maybe some preacher's ready to quit, some young guy's in the middle of making a decision and surrendering to you and giving his all for the mission field or to preach the gospel. I pray, God, that you'll do the work, and we'll promise you we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Thankful, be thankful. The Bible talks about this a lot, but we ignore that for some reason. Thanks is gratitude for God for some act in history. And I dare to say everybody in here has a reason to be thankful to God. I mean, we're so afraid that somebody's going to look at us and say, man, I can't believe that guy's acting that way. And then they go to these stupid ball games. I wouldn't spend 5 cents on a stupid ball game, especially some idiot going to kneel at the national anthem. I think they ought to run over him with a golf cart or something. Amen. I'm telling you what, somebody that does that never spent any time in a war zone, I guarantee you. Listen, we need to learn to be thankful. You know, the Bible said in Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. Listen, I tell people all the time, I am sick of hearing people say, I come to church tonight to get a blessing. Amen. I want Brother Mike to bless me tonight. Well, you're not going to get one. Amen. I'm not going to give you one. If you come to church to be a blessing to somebody else in this church, you'll walk out of here and you'll have a blessing. But if all you come to church is to take and to get, just to fulfill some desire that you got, you're going to go away empty. But if you come to give something, then God will give you something. Listen, the mark of the last days is a generation of a bunch of unthankful people. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 3:2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. I mean, men sit around and primp and prop like a woman anymore. I mean, I don't understand that, you know? They say real men wear pink. Well, we had other words for that when I was young. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous. You know, the preacher get up and talk about giving to missions. Everybody thinks all at once he's covetous. No, you're covetous. Amen. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. And right down there, the last two is unthankful and unholy. You know that we are an unthankful people. I've noticed in my life we miss the little things to be thankful for. The Apostle Paul wrote 13 books in the Bible, and 11 of those books start with a thanksgiving about something different. We need to learn to thank God when we get up and thank him for just for basic things. You know, we got so much food, we don't even have to ask him to bless it anymore. I'll tell you what, the Vietnamese talked to me about right after the fall of Saigon in April 30th, 1975, and we pulled out of there. We left a mess. And there was a massacre took place over there. They went in and they just wiped them out. They come in and just shoot and kill them, man. And I remember Duke, the guy that works for me, been with me for 20 years. I worked for him probably. We worked together anyhow. He lets me think I'm boss. But he's told me stories as a little boy. You know, you go to bed with hunger pains. How many of you ever been go to bed with hunger pains? And you jump up and went to the refrigerator. Well, they didn't have no way to get it. They didn't have a refrigerator. They still don't, most of them. They don't even have electricity, most of them out where I work. They don't have running water. But he said they get hungry. And they take rice and they make what they call chow. It's like a real soupy rice. And they wouldn't have enough to go around to all the kids. So they would put sawdust in that. And they would eat that with that sawdust. And that sawdust got in your stomach. It swells up and it takes away the hunger pains. But you do that long term, it will rip your guts out. And a lot of the Vietnamese older ones that went through that are sick. And I'll tell you what, I've watched Duk before. We get up with all them communists sitting there and we get ready to eat. And Duk will get up and he'll raise his hands to heaven and he'll say, God, I just want to thank you for this food that we're about to receive. And I'll tell you what, you think the Holy Spirit of God is walking around that table, amen, because he's really, really thankful for the food that he's getting to eat. We're not like that. You couldn't go hungry in America if you tried. I'm telling you, man, before we sleep, we ought to be thanking God. We got a place to sleep, amen? Before we play or work and we have a job, we ought to thank God for it. Things are not this good for the rest of the world. There are those who go to bed every night hungry. There's those that go to bed in many other ways. I remember two little old girls I found years ago. One lived with one uncle and another with little girl lived with a peg leg uncle. And I went in there to investigate, and I was going to build a house there. And the policeman, Mr. Thung, come out, and he told me, he said, don't promise him a house yet. I need to talk with you when we leave. I just fell in love with that little girl. She was so sweet, but I know she had scars, and she was sort of timid, and she was acting a little weird. And we left, and the policeman told me this. He said, her uncle will not let her go to school. And he says, every morning, about 3 in the morning, makes her get up and get down in that old nasty canal and get down there where the tide's out and go down there and in that old muck and mire and catch fish or catch snails or clams or whatever she can, and makes her go up there into that market every day and sell those so that she can come home and bring him that money so he can buy enough liquor to get drunk. And then every night, he abuses that little girl. And I'll tell you what, man, that struck me. Me and that policeman, we made a deal. We went to the other uncle's house a long way off, about 5 miles away, and we got some property there, and we built a house. And me and the cop, we made a deal. As soon as I got that house built, we was going to kidnap that little girl, and we was going to take her up there and put her up there in that house. The Bible says obey the powers that be. He's the power, amen? So him and I made the deal. And boy, we got that house made. That old uncle was drunk. And we went down and got that little girl. She was so excited. I was carrying her. And we was going up through there. And boy, I just fell in love with that little girl. And I told that cop as we was going up through there, I said, you know what? I'm getting old and there ain't a whole lot worth going to jail over. But I said, if that peg leg uncle comes up here and messes this little girl, I'm going to slap him. I'm going to beat the devil out of him. And he said, yeah, okay. And then I left. Then I left, and that cop happened to be there when that peg leg uncle come up there to get that little girl. And when he come up there to get that little girl, that cop told him, he said, listen, you know that crazy Mike Roberts, that American? Now, this is his lie. I didn't say this, but he added to what I said. He said he told me, if you come up here and ever see this little girl again, he's going to kill you graveyard dead. And that guy never did bother that little girl anymore. She works for a foreign company right now, has a really good job. We raised those kids all the way through. But I'm telling you what, you kids, you got a parent that brings you to church. You got somebody that loves you. You got a bed to sleep in. You got food in your belly. Most of you get to go to a Christian school, and you're not a bit thankful about it. Amen? You need to learn to be thankful for what God has done for you. Now, the first thing we need to be thankful for is for your God-given faith. God has given all of us a measure of faith to believe the gospel. The Bible said in Romans 1:8, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for y'all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. You know, people talk about this church right here. They talk about this church because you give to missions. You know that? You know how many people are born again throughout this whole world because of you? Do you know how many people are saved in Vietnam because of this church right here? Amen? I mean, your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Listen, I am so thankful God gave each and every one of us enough faith to believe the gospel. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen? And I mean, after you got saved, he didn't shut off the faucet that gives you faith. Amen? You're supposed to have daily faith to walk by. You got to live by faith. You got to walk by faith. You're saved by faith. I understand that, but you got to live by faith. I thank God for the faith that He gave us. I'll tell you, man, I remember I went to Vietnam one time, and right before I left, my wife got sick. She got some kind of chemical poison and about died over there. And I'd just taken this little girl in and her brother, and she never knew her dad. And the little girl starving half to death, and I found him, and I took him in and was going to build him a house and got him a house built. And my wife got sick, and I said, honey, I got to take my wife back to America. I said, but I will be back. Boy, she cried. She sobbed all over me. She said, I never had a dad. Now you're leaving. I said, I'll be back, honey. I promise you, I'll be back. Don't worry. And boy, it was a long time, and I come back a few months, and I went out there to see her because I promised her I'd come and see her. And as soon as I got back, and she lived across a rice paddy, and coming across one of them narrow rice paddy dikes, she had them little bony legs, and she was coming across there chopping. I had the police with me, and the governor of the province was with me, and everything. We was walking out through there, and she come a running, and all at once she jumped in my arms. She said, I knew you'd come back. I knew you'd come back. I said, honey, I told you I would. And she said, but that man right over there, pointing at the policeman, told me that you didn't want to have nothing to do with a little dirty orphan kid. But I told him you promised me you'd come back. And I'm telling you what, Jesus Christ promised us one day He's coming back. And one day He's coming back to get us out of here. And we need to live like that. We need to act like we actually believe that. I thank God. I'll tell you something else I thank God for. I thank God for His grace. Whew, man, I need that. And I'm not going to preach about it very long, but in 1 Corinthians 1:4 it says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. I've got unmerited favor. You look at me and you can tell I'm in trouble all the time. Amen. Preacher, I don't know what you do in Bolivia, but I say things sometimes a little wild. And you know, once you get used to walking out off of a limb and God catching you, you sort of get used to that. You expect it. You know what I'm saying? Man, I tell you, one time I went down to somebody down there, a communist official, and messed over one of my kids with a bank account or something. We set him up a little bank account and try to get him a college fund going. And one of them communists stole that money. Oh, man, I was so mad. I went down there. Man, I was boiling. You know what? If somebody hit you in the head, it wouldn't bother me a whole lot. I'd probably sit and laugh. But if somebody takes advantage of one of these little kids, I'm going to do everything I can to put them in the ground. Amen. So I went down through there. We're going about 3.5 hours down through there. Man, we're going down through there. And Duke, he knows I'm getting madder. And the more I think about it, the madder I get. I said, stop over here. He pulled over, and I got me a quadruple espresso coffee. Vietnamese coffee. Starbucks is kid stuff. Babies drink that stuff. They put that in a bottle for somebody, man. Vietnamese coffee is the strongest in the world. And you can drink it. It's so strong, it tastes like chocolate. And man, I got me a quadruple espresso. I chugged that thing. I said, okay, let's go. We went into a meeting. All them communist officials were there and the cops was there. Duke walked in. He's a nervous wreck. And I jump up and I am screaming and hollering and pointing at everybody. And man, I tell you what, that governor was sitting there. And all at once he said, yes, sir, we're going to fix that, sir. Yes, sir, we're going to get this done. And we walked out there and Duke said, I didn't even remember those Vietnamese words. Where'd you come up with them at? I said, espresso, the Holy Ghost, and adrenaline. Amen. You get all that together. It's dynamite. But you say, what was that? It's God and espresso. But God took care of that. Folks, I'm telling you what, we got grace. We got unmerited favor. And sometimes we don't take advantage of what God has provided us with. I'll tell you something else we need to be thankful for is for our good memories. Don't you have some good memories in your Christian life? I run into old friends of mine, man, they want to talk about the past. I said, I don't remember. I don't care. Everybody builds that up like you're Jesse James or Billy the Kid or something. I'm sick of hearing about it. I don't want to talk about that stuff. I want to talk about what God's done. I like it. Amen. I'll tell you, man, I've watched God do some things. The Bible said in Philippians 1:3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I've got good memories. I remember last time I preached in this church. Brother Hank Thompson was here. Brother Homer Smith, Sister Thompson was here. And Brother Jack Woods was here. Boy, what a combination. I used to sit there and think, man, them guys are old. And now here I am, I'm old. Amen. I got good memories. Amen. I used to preach a lot with Brother Wood and Brother Homer, and Brother Wood used to, I was telling him today, he used to tell me, now listen, preacher, I think a young man ought to preach his age. Preacher ought to preach his age. Now he said, but tonight, he said, I want you to preach about 20 minutes and then I'm going to preach. So I preached 20 minutes and he get up there and preach an hour and a half. I thought, he is not 90 years old. I love that old man. I could listen to him for a day and never get sick of hearing Brother Jack. Don't you wish he were still alive? Man, I got good memories. Brother Homer and I preaching together, trying to raise money for other missionaries and stuff. I tell you what, folks, I got good memories of those days. You should have some good memories of good things God has done for you special. You can't forget the day you got saved. Amen. And the day you got some victories over some of life's sins, controlling sins in your life. You ought to be excited about that. You and I forget to be thankful for the little things of the Christian life. Man, you get all wrapped up in all this politics and all this politics out in the world and all the politics in the church. Forget about that church. Just come to church and praise God. Be thankful for what God. Look, God's given you this building. He's given you an air conditioner. He's given you a good pastor. You ought to be standing and shouting every once in a while. Listen, I remember one time my boy, he's little. I never will forget this. This is a good memory. He come to me one Sunday. Can I use that? He come one Sunday morning. He come to me, preacher, and he said, Dad, God wants me to preach. He had a mean look on his face. My little girl was there. He walked in that pulpit. I never will forget this. He said, open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. He's looking mean. I couldn't figure out what was going on. He said, the Bible says, thou shalt not covet. He come down out of that pulpit. He got his finger right in my little girl's face. He said, I'm going to tell you something, little missy. If you don't start sharing them toys, God's going to get you because that is covetousness. Then he said, let's pray. I thought, she's bawling her eyes out. Man, he closed in prayer. Me and my wife, we couldn't stand it, man. She runs into the bedroom, got every toy she had, and throwed it right on the altar. I've thought about that. Wouldn't you like to have some of these preachers, man, you get in some of these meetings, they preach for 2 hours. Wouldn't you like to have a preacher like that every once in a while, have the whole congregation tore all to pieces? I'll tell you what, you think I'll ever forget that? That's a blessing. My son was supposed to come in from El Paso and be here with us. He's a first lieutenant now out in El Paso in the Army. And he was going to come, but he couldn't make it. He had to get ready for a maneuver. But I'll tell you what, folks, I love that kind of stuff. That's a good memories. I like to lay in bed at night and think about it. And think about the kids that's gotten saved in Vietnam over the years. And the churches that got started. Think of the good things. Quit thinking of all this negative stuff. Somebody didn't talk to you when you come to church. Somebody didn't look at me. They had a mean look on my face. I'm telling you what, folks, get over some of that crazy stuff. They probably don't even have you on their mind. You don't come to church for that. Thank God that's there. But you come to church to praise and be thankful to God. I'll tell you, I never got right with God until I was 27. My wife's a converted Catholic. She went to 8 years private Catholic school, had two sisters in a convent. Her aunt was a mother superior, had her own Catholic TV show in Indianapolis. She grew up like that. We moved to Lexington, Kentucky. There was an old preacher down there named Byron Jessup. And he preached on television. She was trying to figure out how to get saved. She never heard the word saved till she was 21. Grew up around the block from an independent Baptist church. Right one block. And finally that old preacher made it plain about the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse from all sin. She got down on her knees and she got saved. Amen. It wasn't long, too long after that, God dealt with my heart and I got right with God. I'd been saved, but I fell out of a church when I was a kid over a big church split. They had the police there. Hillbillies, man, they shoot each other when they have church problems. I fell out, would never go back to church, but I got right with God. God dealt with my heart. He was going to take me on out if I didn't get right. Amen. And I got right with God. And I told the Lord I'd do anything He wanted me to do. My life was a mess. I'm a Vietnam veteran. I was in trouble all the time. Wanted in the state of Indiana. And I told God I'd do anything in the world, but two places I wouldn't go was Indiana and Vietnam. I ended up starting a church in Indiana, and I've been in Vietnam all over Vietnam. Don't ever tell God you won't do something. But I'll tell you what, through that, my mom stayed right there with me the whole time until my mom went on home with the Lord. She was right there saying amen, backing me up against family, against old friends, against everybody. I never will forget that. Amen. I never will forget that. Those are good memories. You got somebody in here that backs you up all the time. You got people in here that love you. Amen? People get down on their knees. They love you. You got a pastor that loves you enough to give you the truth and get you exposed to missions and get you to be a part. Bolivia, man, I can't believe everybody don't want to get excited about Bolivia. Do you want to go up that mountain? No, I don't want to go up that mountain. Amen? Let him go up there. I'll tell you another one. The last one is for your good works. Now, we're not saved by works, right? Not of works. Amen? I believe that. But some of you Baptists get so anti-works, you're not willing to do anything. You're afraid that's going to scar you or something. So he says there in Philemon 1, verse 4 and 5, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. They're doing something to help people out. Thank God we're not saved by good works, but by grace. I understand that. I quoted you Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. I believe that. He saved us by grace through faith, but He saved us to do good works. Not to get saved, nor to stay saved, but because you are saved. People know you're a Christian by your good works. Titus 2:14 says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Now get this. And purify unto himself a peculiar people. How are they peculiar? Zealous of good works. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. You come to church to get a blessing. You come with a wrong attitude. You got to come to church to be a blessing. Help somebody else out. Help somebody that's having a hard time. Say something encouraging to them. Be a blessing to them. You got problems with somebody in here? Get it right so you're not the one to quench the Spirit of God. Then Titus 3:8 says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. I'll tell you a couple things and I'll close. I'm not by nature a nice person. You can probably tell that. Kids like me, but they get about middle class. They don't like me for some reason. Then they get old and they like me again. I don't know what that is. But there's a policeman over there, and I mentioned his name, Mr. Thug. I was in the military. And people ask me, do I ever have flashbacks? I think on steroids sometimes. I wake up in the morning sometime before I think, and I hear them chattering in Vietnamese. And then I'm reaching for something. And if it was there, they'd be in trouble. Amen? Duck too. But Mr. Thug, he got sick. He got cirrhosis of the liver. And in Vietnam, you think socialism is a good thing. You ought to go to Vietnam and see social medicine there. You women go to the hospital and have a baby. The doctor says, do you have the money? You say no. They say, I hope you have fun delivering your own baby. And they walk out. You say, where's my tray of food? Well, you better have a family member there to make it for you. They didn't bring you in there to feed you. So Mr. Thung got cirrhosis of the liver, and he was dying down there. So he come out of the hospital, in and out of the hospital, and he was out to eat with us, and he's drinking all the time. And I told Duke, give him some more liquor. I said, I can't shoot him, but I can poison him. Heart of a missionary, amen. He went back to the hospital, and he's dying. Nobody pays bill, had no money. And Duke told me, and the Holy Spirit of God dealt with me. And I told Duke, go down and pay his hospital bill. And Duke's the best Christian I know in this world. You guys will meet him. He is the best Christian I know. He sings every morning, prays, and reads his Bible. I mean, he's witnessing to everybody and everything. And he says, you know, his daughter doesn't have a bicycle to ride to school either. I said, buy her a bicycle, but shh, don't tell me nothing else. So he gets out, and I forgot about it. And you know, about 6 months to a year later, I get called in for preaching the gospel in a village. And boy, they had me in this meeting. The governor's there, and all these communist officials are sitting there. And boy, they're chewing me out. This guy's in my face. He, you know, and I'm sitting there, whoopee-doo, shut up. You know, I'm getting sick of hearing it, you know. They're all screaming at me and threatening me and stuff. If you ever act like you're afraid of the communists, you're in trouble. So you got to act arrogant and not afraid of them and just bully them, you know, and they'll leave you alone. Works like the mafia. So this guy's threatening me, and all at once, Mr. Thung walks in. He's a policeman. He's a colonel. A real high-ranking policeman. He's the head over that province now. He walks in and sits down. I forgot all about our past and everything. He sat down. And then the governor, they're all afraid of the police. Police can get you in big trouble quick, even a communist. And the governor says, anybody else got anything to say? Mr. Thung raised his hand. He said, yeah, I do. And by that time, that other communist who was accusing me went over and sat down. Mr. Thung went over and he put his finger in his face and he says, you're a dirty, filthy liar. He said, the day that you're talking about, I was with him, and he didn't say a word, and you're going to write him a letter, a public letter of apology, and you're going to stand up right now, and you're going to apologize to this man, and you're going to get right about this. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow. And I thought, he wasn't there that day. But I thought that was his lie, not my lie. That guy apologized to me and walked out of there, and now everybody in that province is afraid of me. Because I tell them I got Mr. Thung's on speed dial. Want me to call him? I do that all the time just to aggravate him, amen? Hey, when you got the power, use it, amen? I'm telling you. You do a good work, God will bless you for that. I didn't do it to get anything out of it, but it always comes back. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That doesn't mean bad all the time. You sow some good seed, the good seed will come up also. You need to start sowing some good seed and get rid of some and try to kill, get you some Roundup and kill those weeds. I'm going to tell you one more thing and I'm done. (Clears throat) I got 733 kids, and I got a story about every one of them. But there's some of them special. I got this little girl, she lived in Mangtit. There's three kids in the family. Little girl, little boy, and then this tiny little girl. One day, mother left. Father couldn't feed him. He got all depressed, and he went out in front of those three kids and hung himself. When you hang yourself, you don't tie your hands. Well, he changed his mind several times. But nobody, Vietnamese are real strange people. They wouldn't do anything. And those three kids stood there and watched their dad struggle and die. The grandmother, the mother, the father, blamed those three kids. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. And once I figured that out, I chewed that old woman out. I was ready to stomp her in out of existence. You can't blame kids for what some ignorant father done. Well, this one little girl, she wouldn't talk. She wouldn't smile. And that little girl, the Holy Spirit of God dealt with my heart. I was determined I was going to make that little girl happy. I went and bought her little dresses, special, bought her a bicycle, bought her new shoes, necklaces, bracelets. And, you know, I get her little things for their hair. They're what they call them, brettes. And I had her hair done. I done everything for this little girl. I'd come in there, I'd pick her up, I'd kiss her, I'd get her down, I'd tickle her, and she'd start smiling all at once. After a while, she would, you know how they sideways smile? And after a while, I'd kiss her, she'd come running, stand in front of me, and man, she was just so happy. I just made over that little girl. That little girl finally got to where she'd talk with me. And her and I would sit down and have a conversation while they was working there in the place and everything. Well, one day they come in there and told her, me and the governor and a bunch of the communist officials and the police were all, Mr. Thung was there that day too. We all were coming in, and they said, hey, your dad's coming. So she ran across that coconut tree bridge, and she put on all their little pretty things I bought her, and she got herself all done up, they said. And she come running across that coconut bridge, and she slipped, and she fell, and she went down in that canal, into that muck, in that mire. And all those open things, all canals are over there, is an open sewer. And when I got there, she was standing there. They was throwing the Mekong River water on her. Anybody been to Vietnam know what a joke that is. That's like throwing sewer water on top of sewer water. And she was just standing there, and she was just shaking. You ever see a little girl shake when they get all upset? She was just standing there just shaking. She's tears streaming. She had human fetus on her. She had all kind of cow manure. Oh, I mean, it was just a mess. She stunk, man. I mean to tell you, she stunk. And you know what? I had a white shirt on that day. I never will forget it. I had a white shirt on there. I can still see it to this day. And the Spirit of God dealt with me. All these communist officials are standing there. They didn't know what to do. And I just got down in front of that little girl. I got down on my knees, and I threw my arms around her, and I pulled her up real close, and I kissed her, and I told her I loved her, and I said, honey, I don't care what you smell like or what you look like. I will always love you. When I got up and turned around, I was a mess. I looked around, and all those hardened communist officials, tears were coming down her cheeks. And that governor looked at me, and he pointed his finger at me. He says, now we know you love these kids. I went home, brother, on the way back, and the Holy Spirit of God started dealing my heart. He said, when you couldn't come to where I was, I came to you. Amen. He didn't wait for me to clean up. He didn't wait for me to get all washed off. He come down, he got in front of me, and he throwed his love in. I didn't go looking for God. God come looking for me. And I'll tell you what, folks, some of us need to get right with God here tonight to start this mission conference out right. And we need to be thankful for what God done and how God come searching for us and looking for us and throwed his arms around a bunch of vile, filthy, unclean sinners like we are. Let's bow. Piano play. Altar's open. Be a good time to get right, don't you think? Man, we got some great men's coming in here. Man, you got this missionary going to Bolivia. Woo, to get to be a part of that. We need to be thankful to be able to be a part of his ministry. And I know a lot of people say, oh, you know, I can get right back here. As soon as you think that, you can't. You can't get right back there when you think that. Because part of coming to an altar is humility. It's humbling yourself. And we need to get humbled. If you want God to deal with you and help you, we need to humble ourselves.